of you, I don't know if it's a New Year's resolution at this point, that I read the Bible through every year, and usually I pick a different translation each year and just kind of get into God's Word. But I was thinking through it, and as we turn the page on the calendar, That's a different let it go. But you got that song in your head, don't you? Right? But to let it go, you know, as we look forward to this new year of what the Lord can do, and it's a great opportunity for us to sort of take an inventory, right? I've talked about, really, there's nothing magical in turning the page. You know, the calendars are kind of made up dates, and so there's nothing magical that happens. I remember the first time as a kid, my parents let me stay up to midnight to watch the ball drop. And I was so excited, you know. And we stayed up. And then on the TV, at that point, I think we had a 19-inch RCA TV, which was huge back in the day, right? It was a console TV. We had the stereo, right? You flip it to the side. You know what I'm talking about, right? Some of you are like, what? No, right? If you're older than I am, you know what I'm talking about. And I remember watching on that TV, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and they showed this little ball come down, and my mom was like, that was it, go to bed. And I was like, that's it? Yeah, I mean, that was a huge letdown. I thought, you know, I don't know what I thought happened at midnight, but I thought something spectacular was going to happen. And it was like, oh, okay. That was it. But it is a great opportunity for us to stop and reflect and maybe leave some things behind, maybe just from last year or maybe in our whole life. I remember when I was younger, I had this idea that when I got older, life would get simpler. You know, I couldn't wait to be all grown up. I'd have all the answers. I would have no problems. My mother always promised me that when I had my own place, I could jump on my own bed and couch if I wanted to. She didn't say I would get married and that, right? Actually, I did that. Actually, I had my own apartment for a little while before I got married, and just out of rebellion and spite, I jumped on the couch because I was never allowed to do that. It wasn't quite as fun being 19 jumping on the couch as it was when I was 6 and jumping on the couch. You know, life is a lot more complicated as we get older. We carry around a lot more baggage along the way. Years ago, there was a news story about a 5-year-old who got up, took the car keys, and took the family car out for a drive. Started the car, actually backed it out of the driveway, and went down the road. Of course, being 5 years old, trying to look over the steering wheel, over the dash, and reach the gas was quite the chore. Did not go very fast, but the news went down the road that he went on, and he hit everything. Scraped everything. There's a whole line of destruction along the way. And they pulled the kid over, and he was fine. He didn't get hurt. But along the way, he caused a lot of damage. Sometimes I'm like that 5-year-old. We go through life, and I damage someone. I hurt someone. Along the way, I've picked up a lot of hurt. Done a lot of things. I am so thankful that in my generation, we just have stories. We have no video proof of all the stupid things I did as a kid. You know, my heart goes for this generation today that record everything. There's pictures, right? I remember telling my daughters, look, don't put anything online because it lasts forever, right? And so there are things I'm not even going to tell you about I did as a kid. And no one can prove it, right, because of that. But it's amazing. The hurt and the destruction. And the Lord has called us to these things. Paul tells the Philippians, he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize, for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul realized he wasn't done yet. He wasn't perfect, and God's still working on him. And that in here, one of those goals to do are things in the past that we need to turn the page on. There are things that we need to leave behind and forget and press forward. It's hard to go through life just carrying all these burdens. We need to let it go. So I got three things I want to encourage you with this morning about letting it go. The first one is the idea of forgiveness. Forgiveness is sort of two-sided. So I kind of cheated. It's really 4 points. But forgiveness, I'm going to split into two, right? Forgiveness is something we need to give. You need to give. Jesus was teaching on the idea of forgiveness, and Peter asked the question that we all ask. It says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times. Now, 7, you know, is sort of the number of perfection, and he's like, oh, you know, if someone hurts you, if someone has offended you, how many times do I have to forgive them? And I think that's the question we all kind of look at. Because I think we all have friends, relatives, co-workers who push us to the limit of how often do we forgive? I don't want to forgive anymore. I think that's what Peter was saying. How often do I need to forgive? I think he was looking for an end number, not a start number. Right? I've had it with this person. I've had it with this situation. All right, I'm going to let them have it. I remember talking to a lady, and I started making a habit of talking to the cashiers, and how you doing? You know, especially if there's no long line, and so I believe it or not, I'm not too bashful, and I'll start conversations with anyone. And so I was having a conversation with this cashier, and I asked her how she was doing, and she looked up, and she goes, "Do you really want to know?" And there was no one around. There's nothing. I said, "Yeah, how are you doing?" She goes, "I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. I've worked here all these years. I've earned this nervous breakdown. I'm going to have this nervous breakdown. I deserve this nervous breakdown." And I kind of smiled at her, and I said, "Can you please do that after I leave?" and so she's got a big smile on her face, and she goes, "Yes." But it has been building up and building up and building up. And she was looking at the last straw. I didn't want to be that last straw. I felt bad for the next person who was going to come through and push her over the edge and what was going to happen, because she was going to have that nervous breakdown. And I think sometimes in our lives we look around and say, hey, at what point is enough enough? I had a phone call from a church years ago. And I knew the folks, and they asked, "We want to get rid of our pastor." I said, "Why?" He goes, "We're just tired of him." And I was like, "That's not a reason to get rid of your pastor." And then something happened, and he called me up again, and he goes, "Oh, we found a situation." And he's like, "Can we fire him now?" He was just looking at permission, right? What can push them over the edge to justify themselves? And Jesus picks this up. He says, no, not 7 times. But Jesus said, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but 70 times 7. And now, I can tell you how we all think. Right? Because when you see that, the first thing I was like, okay, what's my math? What's 70 times 7? 400 and what? Yeah, so you did the math. You're right there, right? Because you're looking at the end. Oh, okay. So it's 490 times. That's not what Jesus is saying. We always have to be willing to forgive. But we are looking for that end point. We're looking for that excuse to do these things. But what happens if we do not offer forgiveness? The Bible talks about bitterness sinks into our hearts. The book of Hebrews warns us, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble. By this many become defiled. Unforgiveness turns to bitterness. And bitterness is like a root that sinks in and takes place and takes hold of all our life, and it goes deep. I have this wild, I think Paul said it was a wild rose plant, bush, that's growing by my house. And I have cut that thing so many times down to the ground, and it still comes up. I poured gallons of Roundup on this thing, and it won't. So I took a shovel and dug down. I dug down about 2 feet of this thing and cut it off. And I noticed this last, when the snow melted, guess what? There's a green little shoot that is coming up. I want to know how I can get a nuclear armament to blow up. You may see a mushroom cloud up by the parsonage trying to get rid of this root that will not go away. Because it goes down and it goes deep. And if we do not remove that whole thing, it will sprout up again. Forgiveness is that way. If we do not offer forgiveness, it destroys us. And it digs deep roots into us. And we may think, we kind of trim the surface. And it comes up again. You know what I'm talking about. There are things in your life that come back. There are memories that come back. Most of us, I'm not going to call you on the spot, but most of us have even someone in our life that either mention of their name starts the water boiling in us. Right? You don't have to say anything else. Just, I'm probably doing this here right now. You think of someone, you're like, where does that come from? The root of bitterness sinks in and is deep. This morning we did communion and remembered the forgiveness, the price Christ did for us, to forgive us of our sins. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus tells a story, a parable about a man who owed the king or the master a great amount of money. Insurmountable. Something he could never, ever pay back. And the master wanted his money, and the servant begged for him, please forgive me. And the master forgave him this great amount. And the servant walked away like, hoo-hoo. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be forgiven. But sometimes it's harder for me to forgive. And this servant went down and found someone else who owes him just a little bit of money and said, pay me now. And he goes, I can't. And he had him thrown in prison. Well, the master found out. And this is where we pick it up in Matthew chapter 18. It says, then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother's trespass. As Christians, we are forgiven. And God says, because I forgave you, you need to forgive others. Let it go. Now, when we talk about the idea of forgiveness, what does that mean? Forgiveness is almost like a legal right. It almost means that you give up the right for revenge. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, right? Don't avenge yourself. And what happens is that person, you turn them over to God to deal with. Now it's not your job to get even. It's not your job to bring it up. You've given up that right on that. I'm sort of excited next month, it will be the last car payment on our car. It will be paid off. Woohoo! I'm excited. I can tell you're thrilled too. But it'll be paid off. And I can't wait to get a note from the bank that says, it's yours. Now watch, some deer or moose will jump out after the case, right? But at that point it is there. After that is said and done, right? They will have forgiven my debt. It is gone. I'll have certification that is paid off. The bank has no right to me, come to me and say, oh, John, you know what? We want $10 more. Like, no. Right? Because I paid it all. And it's all paid off. Therefore, they have no right to come back on me. That's what forgiveness means. A couple of reminders. What forgiveness does not mean. Right? Forgiveness does not justify what they did to you. It doesn't justify it. Right? If someone has hurt you, offended you, right? Doesn't, when you say you forgive, does not make it was okay. That's not the case. Right? It does not absolve them of consequences. Does not absolve them of consequences for that sin. Right? Every once in a while we talk about, you know, a prisoner gets arrested and they end up in jail and they find Jesus. Right? Maybe they killed someone and now they're in jail and they're like, oh, I got saved. Great. Praise the Lord for that. But does that mean you open the doors and let them out? No. They still have to pay for the punishment of their crime. So sometimes there is a payment that needs to be given. Second, forgiveness is not an emotion. Right? I can't remember if it was last week or the week before that. I talked about my daughter was in the playground when they were little and the little boy hit her. And we said, ask forgiveness, right? You know, what should they do? And it's like, you should say, I'm sorry. And the mother asked the little boy, do you feel like saying you're sorry? And she's like, no. Right? Sometimes you got to say sorry, even though you don't feel it, because it's the right thing to do. One of the things that we need to learn, our society has really flipped things over. Because emotions are a good thing. I enjoy emotions. Sometimes. It depends on the emotion. But our emotions are a wonderful gift from God. It truly is. But our emotions were never meant to lead us or to guide us. Right? The Bible says, guard your heart. Right? Don't listen to your heart. You know, no matter what Disney says, right? Follow your heart. No, don't follow your heart. It's not. Our hearts will lie to us. So forgiveness isn't a matter of emotional will. It's an intellectual decision of I will forgive you. I forgive you. And when you feel that coming back, no, I forgave that. And lastly, forgiveness is not always two-sided. Matthew 18 says, if someone offends you, you go to them, you work it out, and you've gained a brother or a sister, right? Praise the Lord when you can work things out. And sometimes it's a misunderstanding. Things can be ironed out. Maybe just an acknowledgement that you're wrong. And it's always great. You know, can you go up through and you talk to someone, you never know what the reaction is going to be, right? But when you forgive and say, I forgive you. And they're like, thank you. And it's amazing what happens. But it's not always two-sided. Right? You offer forgiveness. And that person's like, I don't want it. Ooh. Forgiveness is to say, right? I ask forgiveness for what I've done. That's the other side of it. Right? Maybe someone was dumb to you and you need to forgive. And maybe something in your past that you've been carrying around. Maybe it's a root of bitterness And you just need to let it go. You need to forgive. And maybe this person is even dead. I'm amazed at how many people are still angry and bitter over people who are dead. And they can never, right, talk to them. But for your sake, you need to forgive. The other side is to ask forgiveness. Right? What if I have done something wrong? The Bible tells us in Matthew 5, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. God says, look, don't come to me until you work something out with your brother. If you've done something to someone, go and be reconciled with them. And maybe there's something you need to do. Maybe you just walked away. Maybe you just swept it underneath the rug. But you know you hurt someone. The Bible says you need to go to them and ask them to forgive you. Now, once again, it's not always two-sided. You may, and they may not give it back to you. But you've done all you can do, and now it's on them. Have you done everything you can? Sometimes restitution may be required. Right? And sometimes there is a cost to forgiveness. Was it a couple years ago? I was in Hannaford in Belfast. And it was one of these blustery days. It was cold and the wind were just blowing up through. And I came up there and opened my truck door, and the wind caught it and just took it right out of my hands and just flung the door, and there's a car right next to me, and my door took off their mirror. Smash. The lady was in there. She comes out. I'm like, oh, you know, and I'm like, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. Right? And I was asking her forgiveness, and she was very gracious on it. Right? And I could have said, okay, good, you forgave me, now I'm going away. Well, there's still a problem, isn't there? Her mirror is just going, you know, on the side of the car. So I told her I would pay to have it fixed. And she's from the area, and I told her, look, I don't want to go through the insurance. I said, you take it down to Red and have him fix it, and I'll pay the bill. And I went down to Red, told Red whatever it takes to fix it. And I will pay for it, and, right? And it was bad because Red came up with a price for like a brand new mirror, and I'm like, I found one in a junkyard for like a quarter of the price. I said, my wife's like, don't do it. You don't offer to, you know, right? Pay the piper, do the deed. And it was done, and I ran, you know, I ran into Lee, not that way again, you know. But talked to her afterwards, and she's like, so thankful. And, she, you know, I'm like, sorry again. She's like, no problem. But I had to pay for it, right? There was restitution I need to do. And sometimes when we ask forgiveness, right, sometimes a matter of forgiveness is okay. Maybe it's just like, you know, I'm sorry, and they say, yeah, it's okay, right? And maybe that's the end of it. Praise God for that. But we have to be willing to say, is there something I need to do to make this right? Is there something I need to do to make this right? Luke tells us about Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was a wee little man. You grew up in Sunday school, wee little man was he, right? And he was a tax collector. And everyone hates the tax collector. But they would steal and use the government as authority for them to steal. And Zacchaeus met Jesus. And Jesus went to his house. And the man got saved. Luke tells us, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, look, Lord, I have given half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone else by false accusations, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to your house, because he is also the son of Abraham, of the Son of Man, who has come to seek and save that which is lost. True forgiveness will do what's necessary to pay the price to set things right. Zacchaeus is like, I admit, I stole, and I'll pay back. And I'll pay back the required amount, which was over and above. And we see this throughout Scripture. And I think sometimes this is an area of forgiveness that sometimes we forget. We just want to say, especially if you're the guilty one, and you want to say, I'm sorry, and they're like, oh, okay, right? I'm sorry, I always want to walk away. Sometimes it requires us. It requires us to do something and be willing to pay the price, to pay a cost, to gain our brother or sister back. And if you have hurt someone, ask for forgiveness. And maybe you'll have to offer restitution as well. Depends on what it is. But because Christ has paid for us, right? His forgiveness towards us cost him. It's based on the blood of Christ that he forgave us. How much so should we? Now, I'm looking at the time. Clock is after. I'm going to stop here. We're going to pick up the next two things. So next week, we're going to talk about the idea of leaving behind shame. I know we're another week into the new year. But let it go. If there's something in your life that you need to forgive, don't wait. Don't delay. Even today, before we leave here, maybe you're like, Lord, it's part of my heart, and I need to forgive someone. Maybe that person is passed off. Maybe it's a relative, a friend. Forgive it. Give up that right and give it to God, and let God deal with the consequences of it. Right? Maybe you're the guilty one. And maybe you've hurt someone. First of all, come to the Lord and admit, Lord, I'm wrong. And then come back and offer restitution. Maybe it's something that allows us to swallow our pride. I know I've told this story before, but it shows the power of this, because sometimes we think we've just moved on. And it's still there. It still lingers. I told you guys growing up, one year my mom bought us, they weren't Walkman, but they were a knockoff. Remember the little cassette players that you used to carry around? And one year my mom bought my brother and I identical pairs. And we had that. And mine was on the floor and I stepped on it and I broke mine. And so in the middle of the night, I got up and I switched his for mine. And my brother woke up in the morning, grabbed it, and it was broken. I put it in there because I was hoping he would step on it when he got up out of bed. And so he got up and he's like, hey, mine's not broken. This is yours. Well, they look the same. Mom! He goes running to Mom. And Mom, he broke my Walkman. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I said, Mom, who are you going to believe, me? Because I was the good kid, or him. Right? My brother was always rough on things. He was always breaking things. I took care of myself most of the time. And so my mom looked at it and she goes, Wes, you broke yours. And I mean, we're talking, I'm like 12 years old. Fast forward. Married, adults, something stupid, something small. And I'm in the ministry, I'm pastoring a church, and I was talking to my brother. And just in conversation, we were talking about the idea of forgiveness and all this. And I told my brother, I said, this is going to sound so stupid. This is going to sound so dumb. Here we are, full adults, right? My brother makes good money, he can buy what he wants. And the Lord just pricked this on me, and I turned around and said, hey, remember back when we were kids and we had those little Walkmans? And I told him that was mine. I swapped it. And he goes, I knew it! And he remembered it, right? He was like, I knew it! And things got kind of quiet after that, and I'm like, I'm sorry. Do you want me to buy you a Walkman? it's like, he's like, And I'll never forget this. He goes, you know, growing up in church, and now you're a pastor. He goes, I told God that I knew that this would be real, this whole God thing, this whole Christian thing. He goes, that it would be real if you ever came clean about this. Because how can you be a pastor and keep this deep, dark secret? And so I told God that I would believe that all this Christian thing is real and had a real impact on your life if you ever came back to me and confessed that. Little did I know, he remembered this. I thought it was some small detail passed off. And we have big things like that in our lives. You know, small things like that in our lives. We have big things. I had to get to a point where I had to forgive my dad for divorcing my mom and abandoning us. And Cindy will tell you, when we first met, I was angry and I was bitter. And God's like, you got to let it go. And I talked to my dad, and he didn't want to. And one of the last conversations I had with my dad is like, you know, if you want to move forward and have a relationship, I'm all for that. But we got to move forward. And I forgive you for everything. Let's start new and fresh. And he couldn't do that. He couldn't let go of the past. And he passed away, and we were never fully reconciled. But I had to forgive him. And it's interesting because sometimes when we do that, now I feel sorry for my dad. Because he couldn't move on. He carried bitterness. He carried these things. And it's interesting that sometimes when we forgive, the Lord takes that anger and bitterness that's in us and can fill us with compassion. But allow us to move on. So we're going to talk about forgiveness. We're going to talk about the other things next week. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray this morning, help us to forgive. Lord, I pray as we approach these things in our lives, Lord, that we will let it go. Lord, you have forgiven us of so much. Lord, we have offended you so deeply, and yet through Christ, through his blood, Lord, you have reconciled ourselves to you, Lord. Thank you for that forgiveness. Oh, forgiveness is so wonderful where we're on one side of it. Lord, I pray this morning, help us to forgive others. Lord, we say we give the right to be angry, to be bitter, to dwell on these things. And Lord, lay it down at your feet and keep it there. Free us from the chains of unforgiveness. Lord, help us to be willing to take that step to confess our faults to others. Lord, to apologize, Lord. And maybe it will cost us to set things right, but Lord, for your honor and your glory, that you may have your perfect work in our lives, Lord, help us surrender that to you. That we may press on, Lord. That we will not dwell in bitterness that consumes us. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Lord. That you can set us free. That we can press on and leave these things behind. Lord, we ask this in your name.